I'm not sure Jono was introducing me, but I'll carry that. Veronica, woman of Kaiba. Yes, my name is somewhere there. That's me. I've been coming here for 5 or so minutes to do communion. So I have been asked to come and do more than about 15 to 20 minutes. So I hope you go along with me. I'll be shaky sometimes. I'll be nervous. And those who are new, I have a unique accent. So ask the person, if you get lost, ask the person next to you, and you can come and talk to me after, and I'll be fine. So once in a while, I watch a match of footy. And I don't barrack for any team, so that's good. So whoever wins, wins. I'm happy. Whoever loses, they come to fight another day. But one thing I love the footy is that those guys in the field, they literally know what they are doing there. They know they are kicking a footy, they know their positions, and they want to win. And every minute in that field matters. So is that the case of us Christians? Think about that. Before I start, let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity to share your message. This has been my message for over 2 years, oh Lord, that you implanted in me. And I'm praying that, Lord, whatever nuggets that you have for each one of us, oh Lord, that you take it with us, oh Lord, that you break it into pieces and we'll be able to carry something into our future, into our life. I ask you that you have a receptive mind, that each one of us will be open to receiving you, and that, Lord, we'll have an open mind and obedience to your calling and to your will. We thank you, Lord, for using me and using each one of us, that we can partner with you to bring change into this world and to our community. In Jesus' name we pray. I don't know how God talks to you, but I know God talks to me through dreams, and he has sent people to me. There are times here and there I get revelations, not so many. So on the night of early morning of 29th May 2022, I got a dream, and God asked me to come to this church and come to this foyer and give this message. Find your purpose. In that dream, I really preached for 1 hour. And I'll tell you, even the verses were coming in the dream, each and every verse. When I got up, when I woke up, I was like, wow, that was overwhelming. Then I wrote my message. I wrote it down as I could remember that very morning. And Daniel has a copy of that. So after a week, Daniel did preach about that, and I knew God was talking to me. It's taken over two years to do that, but we knew, Daniel and I knew, that when the time comes, it will come. But I'll say it that those 2 or more years, the message has been preaching to me. Every time I read it, every time I think about it, God talks to me. So I'm sharing something that God has really changed me through, and I hope it's going to change you as well. What is your purpose? Do you go life? Do you do your life without necessarily knowing what's your purpose? In Ephesians 2:10, God says that we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That is, God has a plan and a purpose for us in this life. So we are here for a divine purpose. We were not just born and brought into this world. We are here for a purpose. And the purpose is to do God's good work. Oftentimes you go life, school, parenting, work, without necessarily knowing that God has created us for those good works. So today I'm going to share 4 ways that God spoke to me about how I can find my purpose, or how I found my purpose. Those 4 ways is: 1, creation. The second is procreation. third is when God literally speaks to you and tells you. And the fourth way is through gifts and talents that God has given you. So let's explore number one, creation. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," that is human, "be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth." Psalms 8:6 continues to say, "For you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hearts. You have put all things under his feet." And I think we are using different words. Now, those two verses, or those more verses, clearly explain the purpose for us on this earth through creation. God granted humanity dominion over the earth and its creatures. God entrusted mankind with both authority and responsibility. This dominion does not mean exploitation, control, power over, but it implies stewardship, requiring wisdom, understanding to manage God's creation effectively. Dominion over what God has told us to have dominion over should reflect God's character, his wisdom, he's just, he's compassionate, rather than us being selfish and taking advantage of others, misusing our authority, or being cruel. As caretakers of God's creation, we must honor that divine responsibility. 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5:2-3 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." How good is that? Creation wasn't a mistake. God actually called the three spirits in one and said, "Let us create man." He had the intentions. And he says, "in our own image." That shows his intentional and unselfish character of God. He says in Psalm 139:13-14, "You created my inmost being, the human. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Praise you because I am fear-free and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." I mean, those are strong words that really tell us and gives us confidence in who we are in God. As Christians, we ought to have that deep understanding that we have been created purposely, deliberately, intentionally in God's image to manage his creations. I'll go to the second point, how you know your purpose, or how I have come to know my purpose, through procreation. That is having children. I know some of you don't have children here. You could be young, or you have not had the opportunity to have children or to be parents, or you've had a very difficult relationship with your biological parents. So bear with me in this. Nothing gives me any joy than being the mother of my two children. My daughter is here. This to me is the utmost calling and physical demonstration of God's partnership with me. Physical demonstration of his partnership. I know that I have not been the best mom, or have failed miserably, like many of us mothers will say every time. And I'm not sure, I know Ashley's laughing there. But I can confidently and truthfully say that I've given it all as a human being. I know I fail, but I give it all. Through my experience as a principal in this school, I have witnessed the damage done to children when they are abandoned by their parents. I recently attended a conference or a meeting, and in 2023, we were told 12,000 kids live in out-of-home care. 12,000 kids. And the reasons, some of the reasons we were told, is because of parents' lifestyle. That is drug, alcohol, some of them are in jail, and so forth. I read somewhere that between 2010 and 2018, 106 children were killed by their parents or parent-like person. 106 children. This is what we call filicide. This is a sad state of affairs. If only we Christians would take up our responsibility more seriously. And what I'm talking about is, think of a child amongst your family members, in your community. Someone that you know who needs your support. Is there something you can do as a Christian? Knowing very well that that child is God's perfect creation. His own image. Can you mentor such a child? Can you bring that child to Emma, to Emily, and they can join the youth?
Yeah,
Psalm 127:3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage and a gift from God, the fruit of our womb, a reward, perfect reward for me." As Christians, with our children, or children like maybe adopted or those ones that you know that you are mentoring, we have two major responsibilities. One is to provide for them. 1 Timothy 5 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And the second thing that he has given us is that we must give directions to our children in the ways of the Lord. As he told Abraham, he actually commanded Abraham, he said, "For I have chosen Abraham so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Think about it, that maybe that child is the one who is carrying your blessing. As all parents will agree with me, and that is what I've told my children, that for them to give me a good, to age well, is that they have to walk in the Lord. That way I don't have to worry whether they're in jail or they're taking drugs, because I know they will be spending more time in the church with like people. Is that we agree with 3 John 1 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth." That is my joy. And I hope it's the joy too for you. So that's the second point, which was through procreation. The third way to know my purpose, or how I've come to know my purpose, which I can share with you, is through God's calling. The Bible is full of examples of people who have found their purpose through calling. And I'll give examples of 3 people. Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 to 3 says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing.'" God spoke to Abraham. Then Moses is another example. When Moses was confronted with the burning bush, this is what God said. "I have surely seen the oppression," that is in Exodus 3, 7 to 8. "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large and great." "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." Come now, therefore, in verse 10, and I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Perfect calling for Abraham. I don't think he questioned that. He had just been given the instructions on how to do it. Gideon, when he was hiding in the basement, the angel appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And that is in Judges 6:12. Those are three examples. I encourage you to read the story of Joshua, to read the story of Esther, John the Baptist, you know, Paul, the 12 disciples and how they were called. But sometimes you don't even need to go far. In our midst, we have Pastor Craig, who moved away from Queensland with his young family to a land that he didn't know and started this church. And this is where we are here. Now, sometimes when I was going through the Plenty River registration, I reached a place, it's very tedious, and I gave up. And I said, I'm not pursuing this. My children anyway don't need a year 12 certificate, they had achieved it, so why am I bothered? And while I was in my office, packed my things, and I was going home because I had just decided enough, I was told that there's someone who wants to see me. And I said, oh, I did not expect anybody, otherwise I would not have packed my bags and so forth. And a lady walked into my office. I'd never seen this lady. I can't remember her name. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, oh my God, why don't you just finish and go? But that lady told me that I've been sent to you, Veronica, that do not give up. Do not stop what you're doing. And she told me, there's someone I can see behind you who is cheering you. And I think that lady was being very careful because of religion and in the church, in the workplace. She asked me, do you know the person who is behind you? And I said, it's you who is seeing, not me. Why don't you tell me? I was very arrogant. And the lady told me, you know the person, very, very powerful, and had been sent, do not give up. Keep going and you succeed. And the lady walked out. Paul and I rushed out to see who it is, and the lady disappeared. I don't have her details. I don't know who she was. I've never met her before. And that changed what I needed to do, and now we have the school. God spoke to me. This school is not like any other school. It's a special school. And those who work here understand what I say about the specialness. We have young people who have not gone to school 2 to 3 years. They are now re-engaging in school. Students with years of trauma and mental health now getting a healing. I get emotional when I think about my kids. Young people receiving 2 meals a day that you can't believe it. There are parents who cannot provide meals to their children. We give them at least 2 meals a day. Neurodiverse students who have been thrown out of mainstream school because the schools are too big. Teachers have no time for them. They have the opportunity to use their strength to achieve an education. The list goes on. That would not have happened if God had not spoken to me. Maybe you'd have used someone else. I know God can do that. I'm humbled by that calling. To me, it's a call more than a job. Comes with its own challenges. But you know what? It's God's school. When we have challenges, I tell him he sorts it out. He called me to this and he sorts it out. So I encourage you to find out how God speaks to you. Pay attention to the way he directs himself to you. We all have different ways that God speaks to. And I do understand because some of us are naive, so he uses some languages that you can understand. Others are more grown in wisdom and in spirituality, so he gets more complicated. But in John 10:27, God says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me, and I know them and they follow me." So listen. If you know God, He would speak to you. The fourth way is finding your purpose through gifts and talents God has given you. Do you have special gifts and talents? Or you think you got them yourself? God has given them to you. In most times, we discount those natural gifts and talents that God has given us. These gifts and talents are to use for His purpose. We look at the case of the building of the temple in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about two guys, Bezalel and Oholiab. Bezalel is the guy I knew more. Oholiab. God gifted these two people with gifts that no one else could have. They could work with gold. They could work with gold, silver and bronze. They could cut stones. They could carve wood. They could design artistic patterns. They were gifted. They could weave woolen. They could design fabrics. They are the ones who even made the Ark of the Covenant. We look at Exodus 36, and I'll be quick. Exodus 36, 2 says, Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary, shall perform in accordance with everything that the Lord has commanded. If you read the whole chapter, it says how they could move, how they could even do the measurements, how they could cut them. And they didn't go to school. God just gifted them with those skills. These two guys and the construction of and the building of the temple tells us how God can empower you to excel in a chosen field for His glory. Are you gifted in administration, in leadership, or teaching, designing, building, treating complicated emails? The list goes on. What is your gift or talent? Sometimes we don't feel like doing what God has given us or the gifts. We feel like, no, I don't want to do that. But I can tell you God is not going to change His mind. He has said it in Romans 11:29. And you can see this. I had to read this like 10 times. I'd never seen it. Romans 11:29. It says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He's not going to change His mind. He gives it to you. He wants you to use it. So the sooner we accept God's calling through our gifts and talents, the better for us. The ultimate example of living a purposeful life is Jesus Himself. Jesus in John 6:38-40 says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last minute. Perfect example. Jesus knew from the day He was born what His purpose was. So I've given those four examples of how you can find your purpose or have found my purpose. Which of these have resonated with you? Which of these have resonated with you? It doesn't matter if you are retired or just starting your career or not working or a parent. God has a purpose for you. De Villiers and his wife are a couple that I had admired for some time. They were a young couple that were killed in Haiti. Maybe you've heard of them. They were missionaries in Haiti from America. David said, I want to live intentionally in the light of eternity. I want to live intentionally in the light of eternity. Having an intentional life. Better Up blog says that identifying your true purpose or purposes can help spark energy, passion, and excitement for the future that you may never have felt before or have only experienced in person. There's no better way of knowing your purpose than first having a relationship with God. That is where it all starts. When people, those people who Jesus had fed has, with the five, with the how many loaves? I think 10 loaves. The 5,000 people who had been fed, they came to Jesus the following day. They wanted to know more miracles, and they wanted to know, how do you do this? And Jesus answered to them in John 6:28-29. And I want us to read this clearly. Then these people asked Jesus, what must we do to do what God requires us to do? And Jesus answered, to believe in the one he has sent. We must believe in Jesus. As I've grown in God, I've come to know that God is purposeful. He just doesn't do things. He is very intentional. He's intentional with your life. He's intentional in my life. So I hope this message has challenged you or reconfirmed in your heart that God has a purpose for your life, that you are his child, that he has chosen you, that you are his masterpiece, that he has called you. He has given you gifts and talents for his use. All we need to do is to receive him in our hearts and be obedient to his calling. You could be having a successful career or superb life. Your marriage is great, and we all want that. But be completely out of line with God's purposes in your life. How about we seek God first, about how he wants us to raise our children, how our marriages should look like, how our careers and jobs align to his will. This could mean taking your job more seriously, re-engaging with your estranged child, going to Bible school. Sometimes I talk to myself about that. God hear me. Visiting the sick in hospital, feeding the homeless. The list is endless. All we need is to believe in and step out in faith. So if you are here and one, you do not believe in Jesus, or you do not have a relationship with Jesus, so you don't know where to start to getting to know your purpose, or you're here and you already have an intimate relationship with Jesus or with God, but still struggle to know your purpose in the first place. Or that person is that you knew your purpose sometimes back, but after some times you have pursued other things that you know very well do not align with your calling. Hence, your life is frustrated, or you lack the joy that you once had, and you want to go back to your calling. Can I please ask that you come and see the Daniel and his team, and they'll be able to pray for you. I call upon each one of us to live in God's purposes. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this message. Thank you for the opportunity to share it to you, Lord. Thank you that each one of us has picked something that we run with, oh Lord. We pray that we'll be obedient to your calling, because you have said obedience is better than sacrifice, that we shall be obedient and trust that what you have put in us, oh Lord, it is for your glory, it is for your purpose. We thank you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.